You're listening to KEPW LP, homegrown community radio for Eugene and Springfield, broadcasting.
This is Talk is Cheap with Echo going on. All right, I don't know why that's happening. Yeah, I do. Okay, that's why that's happening. As usual, I don't have my buttons pushed correctly. Okay, so yeah, the show is Talk is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ Susti, here on KEPW. LP 97.3 FM, Eugene, Oregon, Peaceworks Community Radio, Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also streaming online at kepw.org. All right, this is our fundraising month. So for the next 4 weeks, I'm going to try and pitch to you and get you to send us some money. And so what I'm going to be doing is I'll take some calls. If you want to call in at 541-359-0777. No profanity. That's 541-359-0777. I'm also going to read you some copy, which I don't usually do because it's boring, but I'm hoping somebody's going to call in. But I got some compelling sort of conspiracy theory. Not really. Today I'm going to be reading from The Secret Life of J. Edgar Hoover, a couple of wacky things published in 1994 by Pocket Books. This is Anthony Summers. But and I'm going to give you some reasons to why you need to support independent media, even if you're, whether you're conservative or not. So you're listening to KEPW LP 97.3 FM, Peaceworks Community Radio, simulcasting at KEPW.org. We are an all-volunteer, listener-supported independent community radio. Please donate to KPW this month to support KPW's unique and valuable programming. With as little as $5 per month membership or a single $30 or more donation, you can make a big difference in our community. Plus, you receive a unique KPW t-shirt and our newsletter. The best way to donate is to email staff at kepw.org or call 541-833-0622. Leave us a message and we'll promptly respond. You can mail your donation to KEPW at P.O. Box 11182, Eugene, Oregon 97440. If you mail your check this month and make it out to Helios with Eugene Peaceworks in the memo line, donations up to $500 will be doubled. Donations can also be given on our website at KEPW.org. Your contribution helps to share important information on the work of countless local nonprofits, empowering youth through the KEPW Youth Radio Project and unique programming such as our local Latinx Youth Voices starting this month at 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. All right, and I also have a surprise for you. I never finished playing the Beatles' Black album, so I'm going to go back to I didn't get a good recording of side three, so I'm going to give you each week. This week is Beatles' Black album, outtakes from Abbey Road, side 3, then 4, then 5 and 6. So that's what you're going to get for the month of September, and I'll have some compelling books that I'll be reading copy from and hopefully take some calls, and plus my commentary on why you need to support independent radio, even if you're conservative. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. This is KPW.org, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, KPWLP 97.3 FM, Eugene, Oregon, Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also streaming online at KPW.org. We're having, it's partly DJ error, but also there's the mixing board. We're recalibrating the mixing board, so that's why the levels are a little wonky. Okay, so... first, let me give you some my spiel. And again, if you want to call in at 359-0777, I'll put you on the air, as long as no profanity. So the reason, one of the reasons you want to be support us in independent radio, and I'm not saying don't listen to other stations. You want a variety of things that stimulate. You want to use your own brain at all times when listening to this show, by the way. And the opinions on the show and the statements are not those of Peaceworks or any of the producers here. They're basically mine. But you know, you want a variety of input into your knowledge base there. So, not saying don't listen to other stations, but you want to add independent media, and we're the only thing going on here in Eugene that's independent. So you want to support us. So let me tell you why I got into independent media is because you're missing out on stuff if you're not listening to independent media. The reason I got into it was when I was a kid, these guys were listening to Dr. Demento when I was a kid on Pacifica. And I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm missing out on this great thing. Why haven't I heard about this? Because all I had was corporate. All I was listening to was corporate radio. So that's why you want to listen to independent media, because you're missing out on there's an alternative. Whether you agree with it or not, you really want to at least know what's going on. Let me just play this some background music for you. So then I got to a graveyard shift and I was listening to Roy of Hollywood on Pacifica, and he was playing every night. He played something different. I guess he was into the spiritual stuff, but he would play all this political stuff, you know. And for one thing, you know, they had Bill Donovan, William Donovan of the original OSSS, and he had a whole show, and Dave Emery, and there's all this alternative knowledge that you're not taught in school, partly because they just don't have time to teach all of it to you, but they definitely leave out anarchy completely in high school and in college for that matter. And so you're missing out on and one of the things, like the Reichstag fire, I didn't realize that the German parliament, and this is key to what is wrong today, and very similar to what's going on today, the German parliament building, they blamed it on the communists. And most historians will agree with this. You can look this up yourself. The Nazis burned down the German parliament building, blamed it on the communists, and that's partly why they came into power. So it's where misinformation started. So you find out things listening to us. You know, Jack Dresser and the other shows on here, Wider Views especially, you'll find out an alternative that is not brought to you on other radio stations. You know, you find out that Russia and China aren't necessarily our enemy, whether you know, and whether you agree with it or not. Maybe Russia and China aren't our enemy, but it's globalization that is the enemy. It's the military-industrial complex and weapons manufacturers that incite wars with Russia to sell weapons, and they exploit Chinese labor. Multinational corporations. It's not China that's the problem. It's corporations and our lackey Congress. And this is where conservatives and liberals can agree that Congress has just rolled over. They sponsor corporations. So, you know, and it's not welfare moms that's the problem. It's welfare to multinational corporations. And when you give welfare to a welfare mother, she might spend it on beer and cigarettes. But you might actually see that money come back to you. When you give it to multinational corporations, they just put it in the bank, and you're never going to see it again. That's another reason why you want to support independent media, because you're going to find things out like that, that there's a third way of looking at things that we can all agree on, and that the enemy isn't your fellow neighbor. It's usually, I can usually trace it to multinational corporations. And that the Middle East, too, it isn't Palestinians that's the problem. It's weapons contractors and oil interests that are pit people against each other to cause war and to extract resources. And instead of giving that money to the entire country and spread it out, they hold it all for themselves and keep it in and buy their giant mansions and yachts and leave a huge part of humanity in poverty. And it's not, and you find out by listening to independent media and by supporting independent media, that it's not the individual person that's the problem. It's corporations and their labor violations that are the problems. You know, just as an aside, too, I wonder, I guess Jeff Bezos, you know, the Jetsons and Star Trek, they're fictional things. And so, you know, there's a food processor on the Jetsons and on Star Trek. And I wonder if Jeff Bezos someday wants to be the guy that provides all our stuff for us. You know, you could have, and theoretically, you could have a 3D printer in there and print basically everything in your house with, you know, using energy, lots of energy or lots of matter, which are one and the same. You could produce this stuff theoretically in your house. But he would hold the patents on each design of the food processor, of each thing that is processed by the food processor. So is it right, though, to have one person in control of all this stuff? This is what, again, we can all agree on as liberals and conservatives. Do you want, and what you're going to find out on independent media, and the reason you need to support independent media, is because what's going to happen? What do you think will happen when everything is supplied by one company, by one corporation? Do you really think there's going to be competition? Do you really think they're going to charge a low amount of money? They're going to charge whatever they want. They're not going to charge what the market will bear or what their competition. There's nobody to compete with them. So they're going to pay labor whatever they want. You know, and think about it. What really happens when the other thing you're going to find out on independent media and the reason you want to support independent media is because what do you think would happen if wages just kept going down forever? Eventually, we'd be working for nothing. But what would happen really? What would it really be so bad if wages just kept going up forever? Do you really think that people are going to just pay whatever, pay high prices for stuff? They're always going to negotiate for the lowest price, no matter how much. The rich people are the most frugal there are. They're not going to pay high prices for stuff just because they have a lot of money. All right, and just so you guys, you conservatives out there, I just don't want you to think that I'm just a bleeding heart liberal. So the problem with Trump is that he's Trump supporters is you're right that there is a neoliberalism problem. I listened to Alex Jones as long as I can stand him. The guy's just a raving lunatic right now. But again, you're going to find out this by supporting independent media is that It's neoliberalism is the problem. It's globalization that's the problem. Trump is using Nazi the same methods as Hitler and appealing to the lower classes and workers. But what he's really doing is sponsoring multinational corporations just differently. I'll give you an example. He boycotted, and again, Congress would not stop outsourcing of jobs to China. So Trump put these tariffs on China. So, but the money for the tariffs goes to corporate farmers. It doesn't go to the small family farm. It doesn't go to the small family farmers. It doesn't go to the workers. So he's still doing the same thing. And this is classic Nazi propaganda. And, you know, this thing where you blame the opposition for doing the very thing that you're doing with voter rights. He's claiming that a myriad of things, but voter rights, he's claiming that the left are cheating on voting when it's the conservatives that are stopping people from voting. So, and you know, and the prestige too. Hitler wanted Liebenstrommen, or however you pronounce that, expansion of Germany, and wanted Germany back to being a powerful nation. And this is the line that Trump is using. So you conservatives out there are falling for something, and I'm not saying, and either one you vote for, you're going to be, I guarantee you, we will be in some war when Trump gets in or when Biden gets in, either one. So, so I don't agree with the Biden side either, just so you know. All right, so if you want to call in at 541-359-0777 and stop me from ranting, you can. Otherwise, again, I've got this Secret Life of J. Edgar Hoover by Anthony Summers. Not Andy Summers from The Police, but Anthony Summers. This is on from 1994. So, and you know, there's a whole bunch of books on J. Edgar Hoover and the Kennedy assassination and the Mafia. So this is, you know, if you don't know this, and I'm sure most of you know this, that J. Edgar Hoover was gay. Okay, there isn't much disagreement of that. Okay, so, but what you might not realize is this is what the mob used. This is why he denied that there was mob involvement. That there was a mob was because the mob had stuff on him, and so did the CIA had this information on him. They had pictures of him in a homosexual act, a gay act. So the word, you know, and the words in this, they use the term homosexual in this. The mob bosses had been well placed to find out about Edgar's compromising secret, and at a significant time and place. It was on New Year's Eve 1936, after dinner at the Stork Club, that Edgar was seen by two of Walter Winchell's guests holding hands with his lover, Clyde. Clyde Tolson was his partner in the FBI. At the Stork, where he was a regular, Edgar was immensely vulnerable to observation by mobsters. The heavyweight champion Jim Braddock, who also dined with Edgar and Clyde that evening, was controlled by Costello's associate, Oney Madden. Winchell, as compulsive a gossip in private as he was in his column, constantly cultivated Costello. Sherman Billingsley, the former bootlegger who ran the Stork, reportedly installed two-way mirrors in the toilets and hidden microphones at tables used by celebrities. Billingsley was a pawn of Costello's, and Costello was said to be the club's real owner. He would have had no compunction about persecuting Edgar, and he loathed homosexuals. Seymour Pollock, a close friend of Meyer Lansky, said in 1990 that Edgar's homosexuality was common knowledge and that he had seen evidence of it for himself. I used to meet him at the racetrack every once in a while with lover boy Clyde in the late 40s and 50s. I was in the next box once, and when you see two guys holding hands, well, come on. They were surreptitious, but there was no question about it. Jimmy the Weasel Fratiano, the highest-ranking mobster ever to have turned and testified against his former associates, was at the track in 1948 when Frank Bonpensiero, a notorious West Coast mafioso, taunted Edgar to his face. I pointed at this fellow sitting in the box in front, Fratiano recalled, and said, "Hey, Bomp, Look, at it's J. Edgar Hoover. And Bomb says right out loud so everyone can hear, "Oh, that's J. Edgar's, that J. Edgar's a punk. He's a expletive degenerate queer." Later, when Bompensiero ran into Edgar in the men's room, and the FBI director was astonishingly meek. "Frank," he told the mobster, "that was not a nice way to talk about me, especially when I have people with me." It was clear to Freddy Ono that Bompensiero had met Edgar before, and they had absolutely no fear of Edgar. Freddy Ono knew numerous other top mobsters, including Jack and Louis Dragna of Los Angeles and Johnny Roselli, the West Coast representative of the Chicago mob. All spoke of proof that Edgar was homosexual. Roselli spoke specifically of the occasion in the late 20s when Edgar had been arrested on charges of homosexuality in New Orleans. Edgar could hardly have chosen a worse city in which to be compromised. New Orleans police and city officials were notoriously corrupt puppets of an organized crime network run by mafia boss Carlos Marcello and heavily influenced by Meyer Lansky. If the homosexual arrest occurred, it is likely that the local mobsters quickly learned of it. Other information suggests Meyer Lansky obtained hard proof of Edgar's homosexuality and used it to neutralize the FBI as a threat to his own operations. The first hint came from Irving Ash Resnick, the Nevada representative of the Patriarca family from New England and an original owner and builder of Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. As a high-level mob courier, he traveled extensively in Miami Beach, his Christmas destination in the 50s. He stayed at the Gulfstream in a bungalow next to the one used by Edgar and Clyde. "I'd sit with him on the beach every day," Resnick remember. We were friendly. In 71, Resnick and an associate talked with the writer Pete Hamlin in the Galleria Bar at Caesar's Palace. They spoke of Meyer Lansky as a genius, the man who put everything together, and as the man who nailed J. Edgar Hoover. When I asked what they meant, Hamlin recalled, "They told me that Lansky had some pictures of Hoover in some kind of gay situation with Clyde Tolson. Lansky was the guy who controlled the pictures, and he had made his deal with Hoover to lay off. That was the reason they said that for a long time they had nothing to fear from the FBI." All right, so, coming up, hang in there, because I'm going to play you the Beatles' Black Album, Side 3. These are outtakes from Abbey Road, not available anywhere else. And another reason why you want to support independent media. And this month is our fundraising. And you can send us, and we need you to send us money. And, you know, it's a bargain here because it's only, we don't need hundreds of thousands of dollars. We'd like hundreds of thousands of dollars, but we don't need hundreds of thousands of dollars. You can send us $5 and you get more bang for your buck. I know other stations ask you for $5, but they're trying to get hundreds of thousands of dollars. Your $5 is a good percentage of our income. So, like I say, you're getting more bang for your buck. $30, we would just be in awe of you. Either way, you can get a free t-shirt, and there's a bunch of swag that you can get. Plus, like I say, you need a variety of information. It's up to it's up to the consumer of news to get a wide variety of information to make a decision. And then our music, too. We have a lot of local people that have play their record collections, and their Dr. Zoom has a huge record collection. Andrew of The Colors of Air, which is on Wednesdays at 9, he has some incredible blues and jazz music, and he understands the politics behind the blues and jazz, too. So you get a lot of great stuff. We just got a new reggae show, too. And plus all the local music. I just talked to a musician outside Grower's Market here that I'm hoping to get on, too, a local musician. And musicians are starving right now, so it helps. Dr. Zoom lets them play in his garage and then plays them on Sundays at 5. So, again, that's another reason for sending us $5. You can call 833-0622 and leave a message, and someone will get back to you. Or you can send it to P.O. Box 11142. Yeah. Knew I should have written that down. Anyway, it's on our website at kpw.org. So, you want to support us, please. because it's important to the community. All right, so this book also gets into Marilyn Monroe. An interesting thing about Marilyn Monroe here that I didn't know. Maybe you did, you already did, but and again, there's huge amounts of information on Marilyn Monroe death. This is just one. This is from The Secret Life of J. Edgar Hoover by Anthony Summers. One of the men who monitored the bugs at the Lawford House was Private Investigator John Danoff. He told how during a presidential visit in November 1961, he listened in on a tryst between Kennedy and Monroe. To my amazement, Danoff recalled, I started to recognize the voices because of the president's distinct Bostonian accent and Marilyn Monroe's voice. Then you heard them talking and they were going about disrobing and going into the sex act on the bed. For Edgar, tapes of scenes like this were just the beginning of the harvest. On February 1, 1962, Monroe met Robert Kennedy for the first time at a dinner party in the Lawford House. Later that night, the actress was to tell a friend the two of them talked alone in the den. In characteristic fashion, she had prepared questions of topical interest and asked whether it was true that J. Edgar Hoover might soon be fired. Robert replied that he and the president didn't feel strong enough to do so, though they wanted to. According to the man who installed the bugs, that conversation would have been picked up by the hidden microphones. For Edgar, reading the transcript in Washington, Kennedy's words must have held some comfort. He now knew for sure from the mouth of one of the brothers that the Kennedys were afraid to dismiss him for the time being. That gave him all the more reasons to go on watching to keep on piling up compromising information. Edgar would have known about Robert's comments on his future and about the sex session with Monroe at the Lawford House, well in time for the lunch at the White House in March 1962. Yet whether or not he mentioned Monroe that day along with Judith Campbell, John Kennedy blithely saw the actress again within 48 hours on a trip to California. It was obvious, said Philip Watson, a Los Angeles County official who saw them together, that they were intimate, that they were staying together for the night. In Washington, in the weeks that followed, the tension between Edgar and the Kennedys continued. Excuse me. Robert Kennedy and Edgar now rarely cooperated with each other about anything. Formal courtesies continued, with the president telephoning Edgar to congratulate him on his 38th anniversary as director. Edgar sent a pleasant acknowledgement. Then, the same day, he refused to show up at a cake-cutting ceremony organized by Robert. The Monroe saga, meanwhile, took a strange turn. John Kennedy saw the actress once more on May 19th in New York, but apparently never again. According to Peter Lawford, Edgar warned him off, saying the Lawford Beach House had very likely been bugged by the mafia. He did not, one may be sure, say it had been bugged on his own orders. Unfortunately for the Kennedys, Monroe would not accept that the affair was over. Back on the coast, she plunged into black despair, losing herself in drugs and barbiturates. Marilyn, Lawford recalled, began writing these rather pathetic letters to Jack and continued calling. She threatened to go to the press. He finally sent Bobby Kennedy out to California to cool her off. In the course of calming Monroe, however, Robert followed his brother into her embrace. It wasn't Bobby's intention, said Lawford, but they became lovers and spent the night in our guest bedroom. Almost immediately, the affair got very heavy. Soon, Lawford said Monroe was saying she was in love with Bobby and that he had promised to marry her. It was as if he could no longer tell the difference between Bobby and Jack. Number of witnesses and the surviving phone records support Lawford's account. They also support his statement that Robert, in turn, soon tried to distance himself. He did so too late, however, to avoid being drawn into Monroe's psychiatric collapse, and too late to avoid falling into the double trap, the surveillance ordered by the criminals Giancana and Hoffa, and the web spun by Edgar. So I'm trying to get to, bear with me here. There's not much more. And I'm sorry to read copy, but, you know, this is why you got to send us money so that we can get some interviews in here. Edgar knew early on June 27th, according to Monroe's housekeeper, Robert Kennedy arrived at the actress' home alone, driving a Cadillac convertible. Well, let me skip down. According to Lawford, the row ended with hysteria from Monroe, a struggle in which she was subdued, then an urgent call for help to her psychiatrist, Dr. Ralph Greenson. Let's see. All right, the Attorney General was in California at the time to address the American Bar Association and to take a vacation with his family. A massive testimony supported in the 80s by that of Peter Lawford suggests Kennedy flew to Los Angeles on August 4th for a showdown with Monroe. According to Lawford, who admitted accompanying his brother-in-law to Monroe's house, there was an ugly quarrel. Marilyn, he said, allowed Howe first thing Monday morning she was going to call a press conference and tell the world about the treatment she had suffered from at the hands of the Kennedy brothers. Bobby became livid. In no uncertain terms, he told her she was going to have to leave both Jack and himself alone. No more telephone calls, no letters, nothing. According to Lawford, the row ended with hysteria from Monroe, a struggle in which she was subdued, then an urgent call for help to her psychiatrist, Dr. Ralph Greenson. Greenson did come over, believed he had calmed Monroe down, and went off to dinner. It was he, according to the official account, who would be summoned by the housekeeper in the early hours of the following morning to find Monroe dead in bed. Yet statements by police officers, ambulance men, the housekeeper, doctors, and others suggest the following scenario. After desperate calls by Monroe to the Lawford Beach House, Kennedy and his brother-in-law returned to her home. They found the actress either dead or dying and phoned for an ambulance. One or both of them may have joined the ambulance on a last hope drive to a hospital, only to turn it around when it became clear Monroe was dead. The body was then replaced in the bed, and the president's brother left town rapidly the way he had arrived, by helicopter and aircraft. Dr. Greenson confirmed privately years later that Robert Kennedy was present that night, that an ambulance was called. All right, so the point of this is Edgar Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover, used all this against the Kennedys. All right, so I got one more piece, and then then I've got the Beatles' Black Album coming up, and apparently no one's calling in, so... again, this is KEPW LP, 97.3 FM, Eugene, Oregon, Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also streaming online at kpw.org. We need your support here. You can call and leave a message at 359-0777. Or you can send us a check. And this month, if you put Helios on the check in the making it out to Peaceworks, they'll double it. So the best way to donate is email staff at kpw.org or call 833-0622. Leave us a message and we'll promptly respond. You can mail your donation to KPW at P.O. Box 11182, Eugene, Oregon 97440. That's 11182. Mail your check this month and make it out to Helios with Eugene Peaceworks in the memo line. Donations up to $500 will be doubled. Donations can also be given in our website, kpw.org. All right, so one more thing. You may have known that J. Edgar Hoover was homosexual and was compromised by the mafia, and screwed up the Warren Commission by not giving any information to the JFK Warren Commission, JFK assassination investigation. Totally just didn't give them any information. But did you know that he was black? That's right. J. Edgar Hoover was black, according to Andy Summers from The Secret Life of J. Edgar Hoover. Instead of sunning himself in Miami Beach, his usual retreat over the holiday, Edgar spent New Year's Eve 1963 by himself, holed up in a New York hotel, recovering from prostate surgery. He was lonely and feeling his age, and suddenly his age mattered. Stand by there. Okay, this is chapter 30 on Martin Luther King. Sorry. In late 1963, when Time magazine named Martin Luther King its Man of the Year, Edgar was furious. They had to... And the problem with this, with Edgar Hoover, is that at the same time he's homosexual and at the same time he may have been black, he is against... is vehemently and persecuting homosexuals and blacks. They had to dig deep in the garbage. He scrawled on the wire copy of the announcement to come up with this one. Edgar's attitude on race, his reluctance to hire black agents, and his opposition to the civil rights movement has been explained as a legacy of his origins. He had been born in a time of virtual apartheid in the South, when blacks were expected to be servants and grateful for it. A black man had waited on Edgar's family when he was a child, and he attended a whites-only high school. Years later, when the school admitted black students, outraged alumni returned to tear down the insignia of an institution they regarded as a bastion of white respectability. Edgar's prejudice, however, had deep-seated personal origins. Through his youth and into middle age, a rumor circulated in Washington, a rumor of which he was certainly aware, that Edgar himself had black blood in his veins. In 1958, while researching articles on Edgar for the New York Post, reporter William Duffy enlisted the help of a black agent in the Bureau of Narcotics to obtain a clandestine interview with Edgar's black manservant, Sam Noisette. As the three men talked, Duffy realized the two blacks were repeatedly referring to Edgar as some kind of spook, even soul brother. Dufty had many black friends. He had co-authored Billie Holiday's biography, Lady Sings the Blues, and remembered having heard offhand remarks along the same lines. He later realized that in the black communities of the East, which also claimed Clark Gable and Rudolph Valentino as their own, it was generally believed that Edgar had black roots. The writer Gore Vidal, who grew up in Washington in the 30s, has a similar memory. Hoover was becoming famous, and it was always said of him, in my family and around the city, that he was mulatto. People said he came from a family that had passed. It was the word they used for people of black origin who, after generations of interbreeding, have enough white blood to pass themselves off as white. That's what was always said about Hoover. There was a sort of secret admiration among blacks for those who were able to pass, said Dufty. Fooling white people was easy, but fooling blacks was next to impossible. Early photographs of Edgar do have a Negroid look. His hair was noticeably wiry, and a 1939 article refers to his dark skin, almost brown from sunburn. His coloring gives a striking contrast to the crisp white linen suit. Was there then some truth to the story? As was often the case in those days, no birth certificate was registered when Edgar was born in 1895. The document that was eventually issued in 1938 states simply that both his father and mother were white. The ancestry of his mother is well documented, a line of solid burgers easily traceable to their ancestral home in Switzerland. His father's family history, however, amounts to no more than a series of conflicting reports of descent from German, Swiss, or British immigrants, settlers who arrived in America 200 years before Edgar's birth. There had been plenty of time for racial intermingling. After Edgar's death, even Helen Gandy, who was his secretary for life, after Edgar's death, even Helen Gandy would speak of an early story that Edgar had black blood. She spoke of the rumor during an interview, then dropped the subject. Hoover himself had to know what people said about him, said Gore Vidal. There were two things that were taken for granted in my youth, that he was gay, they used a different expletive, and that he was black. Washington was and is a very racist town, and I can tell you that in those days, the black blood part was very much the worst. People were known to commit suicide if it was discovered that they had passed. To be thought a black person was an unbelievable slur if you were in white society, that's what many people flatly believed about Hoover, and he must have been so upset by it. All right, so that's all the copy I'm going to read for you now. Coming up here, I got the Beatles' Black Album, side 3 of the Beatles' Black Album. And please, support us. The best way to donate is to email staff@kpw.org or call 541-833-0622. Leave us a message and we'll promptly respond. You can mail your donation to KPW at P.O. Box 11182, Eugene, Oregon 97440. If you mail your check this month and make it out to Helios with Eugene Peaceworks in the memo line, donations up to $500 will be doubled. Donations can also be given on our website at kpw.org.
it be. It's like ours. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Oh, that's it. That's it. Yeah. Some good harmonies, which are like,
let it be.
On A minor. Where he goes, let it be. That's it. It should just be those. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. So there's. Who wants to take the one above? You? Same notes as you're playing on the bass. Well, you go down there. And if you play C. It does, though. It's a funny one. It works. Take that off the thing, you don't bother about the piano.
Just or, sing it.
Yeah. Glenn, can you give John a mic for either the piano and his voice on this number?
If we could just have a sort of permanent mic on the piano and a permanent mic for me.
You can hear both of them, you see, Glenn.
She came in through the bathroom window.
Yes she did now.
Protected by a silver spoon.
A bloody silver spoon.
Of course I really had to tell her.
He really had to tell her when he told her.
Slate 182, Slate 182 on B camera. The time is 1 o'clock.
Roll 95, Slate 181 continued, camera A.
She works at 15 clubs a day.
Working 15 clubs a day?
Yeah. I know she thought I had the answer. I just have to sail away.
Didn't anybody tell her?
So I quit. job.
Bloody about time, too, if you ask me.
And though she tried her best to help me,
you'd bloody need it, too.
She could steal, but she could not rob.
Been anybody to
Tuesday speaking. Is that Paul? I'd like to have a word with you.
I've got something of his in the garden.
I have something of interest for you. Come into... The word is go.
Two dwarfs. Oh.
I said my name was Dan LaRue. When she said I've got the answer, I said, but who the hell are you?
Didn't anybody tell?
Felix. One, two, three. And this is something that happened to me quite recently. She came into the bathroom window, protected by a silver spoon. Thank you.
You know, a little bit. Yeah. And it's very quick, you know, so it's no hang up. Castanets on that bit, you know. Yeah, that'd be. Dig it, man. Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? It's when you say something like that, fast. I'm a man. 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 Okay. 1, 2, 3, 1.
97.3 FM and kepw.org.
Thanks for listening to KEPW LP 97.3 FM, broadcasting from the Growers Market in Eugene. We're a nonprofit, non-commercial, listener-supported station. And as a regional source for shows like Democracy Now!, Alternative Radio, and Economic Update, not to mention all of our locally produced programs, we're your alternative in an otherwise conventional media landscape. But we need your help if we're going to continue. Our monthly operating costs exceeds $1,000, so we need people willing to pitch in through regular monthly giving. These sustaining memberships will have access to a variety of benefits that you can read about on our website, kebw.org. You'll also find information on sustaining membership and other ways of supporting us. You can even donate to us right there on the website. Thanks for being a part of KEPW in any way you can.
You're listening to KEPW LP, homegrown community radio for Eugene and Springfield, broadcasting at